Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen.
Hey, we're doing something a little different today. I did a teaching the other day on biblical parenting or fleshly parenting. And Sister Amen, she always listens to the teachings I do. And then we decided that after I did that audio, it's a two-part audio. I think one's 40 minutes and one's 30 minutes, so there's a lot there. We were going to do a discussion because I wanted Sister Amen's input as a mother and as a grandmother and as a godly saint. So I wanted to get her input. So if you're listening to this, you need to go listen to our biblical parenting or fleshly parenting part one and part two. Otherwise, this isn't going to make a lot of sense. We'll probably link this right with that one and link this one to those. So,
right.
But today we just want to go over some thoughts from Sister Amen about what I covered. And then we'll talk about like the four main things we see that are the biggest issues and wrong ways of parents with their children. And we're talking about biblical, godly, born-again saints here. We're not talking about worldly people. We're not talking about churchianity. We're talking about the set-apart ecclesia here. Born of the gospel. Check out the gospel. Don'tperish.com. So, Sister Amen, are you ready to share your thoughts on parenting, biblical parenting versus fleshly parenting?
I am.
All right, let's go.
I guess the first thing I'll say is you did a really good job, very thorough. I know there's tons and tons of scriptures. You can't use them all, but you used some really good ones in there. So whoever's listening, like he said, sisters, anybody seeking women, you need to go listen to that. Before you do that, I would say first you need to pray and make sure that you're willing to put down your flesh and obey the word of God, because the teaching is a hard one. It's contrary to what the culture says. Love, nurture, hug.
Flips parenting upside down.
It does. It's, you know, if you look at God's word, and if you're a true born-again saint of God, you're going to see many areas where the word of God is opposite of the culture, the mindsets, the traditions that you've been raised in and taught for the most part. This is another one. This is like
a holy grail that people don't want to touch because it's children.
But oh, yeah.
It's very, very important because we're training children to become godly saints one day.
Right, exactly. So I wanted my voice on this in order to let sisters know I wholeheartedly agree. I see it. We've been parents. We've been grandparents. We were parents outside of the Lord.
Yep.
We've been grandparents outside and inside the Lord.
And we've dealt with people with children
in
fellowship.
Exactly. We've walked with the Lord for many years now. We've grown in knowledge, maturity, completeness. The Bible says, be perfect, which is complete
and mature. We see through a lot of our false mindsets we used to have.
Yeah, so we've had a time and a period to be able to see this. And being out in the streets, there isn't a whole lot that we haven't encountered and learned from.
Amen.
And so I think it's a good maturity in us in order to speak wisely on this and to be able to see it. Yeah. And so I just wanted to let you sisters know that whatever that was said on that audio, I agree with, I see it, and I think people need to hold to it. It's biblical. You can't argue with the word of God.
And I'll just frame it. The main crux of the teaching I did was people tend to have a fleshly view of their children, a lot of love, a lot of affection, a lot of playtime, a lot of kids getting their way, a lot of all of that, and a little bit of God on the side. The exact opposite should be true. There should be a lot of discipline, a lot of teaching, a lot of training, a lot of ruling your children, a lot of commanding, a lot of them obeying. Yes, some love and affection when it applies, but it should be way offset, more towards God and teaching and training. And yes, a big part of it was corporal punishment, using physical punishment. The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. It says, beat him with a rod, not child abuse. Not injuring him, not making him bleed, breaking bones, or scarring him. Inducing pain to break his will so that you can form him to be something God could work with when it comes time for him to receive the gospel. So that's the big issue here, is flesh versus spirit.
Right, and I agree with that. And we're not going to go into all the details of what was on the audio because you got to go listen to it. It's very well laid out. So while Brother Tupos was doing it and teaching on that, I was just kind of making notes and some thoughts that I wanted to share that I wanted sisters to hear.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, and so Brother Tupos was just talking about fleshly, and that's something we were just talking about is totally opposite of what God teaches.
Yeah.
We are very fleshly. I know women are. I used to be.
Yep. Mankind is.
Yeah, men are too, and mankind. Yep. Yeah, mankind is very fleshly. Even in this way, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us, like Brother Tupos said in the audio, to love and hug and cuddle and nurture the child in those fleshly ways. Of course, you want to feed him and take care of him.
Right.
But it's more about training and raising a child.
Yep.
And like he said, with the discipline. And so one thing to keep in mind as you do this and as you learn this, they have an unregenerate heart, and they're blood family. They're not eternal family at this point.
Amen.
I mean, they may turn out to be enemies of God.
They have to one day grow up, mm-hmm. repent, obey to follow Christ, agree, and go down in the water of baptism. Then they become your brother and sister. Right now, they're not that.
Right. So,
and wait, hold one thought. Can I just say this? I want to make you listen to the other audios. You'll get it. We're not talking about infants here. We're not talking about little babies that don't know nothing. We're talking about, and we all agreed, like the age frame was like 6 months and up, babies can start knowing when to cry to make mama pick them up. They can start understanding commands. They can start knowing not to touch this.
Yeah.
So we're talking about when children are teachable and trainable. Infants, we get it. They need tons of nurturing. They're breastfeeding. They need lots and lots of care. We're talking about when children grow up and are ready to be trained and taught.
Yeah, as soon as they start reaching for things, it's showing that they know how to get something.
Yep.
You know, and then you got to start working with them then.
Amen.
To
right
break
away.
Their will. Yeah. And so, think about this, you know, if they're not your eternal family today, you know, they're not born again saints. They're going to grow up and have to make that choice. And at some point in time, they're going to become old enough to leave the house.
Young men and women.
Yep. Romans 16:17 says what? We need to mark and avoid those who do there. If they don't want to repent and be born again and follow after Christ, you're going to have to.
And they follow false ways. They want to follow worldliness. What do you do with them?
You're going to have to separate from them. Put them out.
Put them out. When they're adults, you're done. Your house can't support somebody that doesn't want to follow and obey Christ. You have to put them out and start killing your flesh now, and it'll be easier then.
Yeah, what you want to do is treat them as another person, not part of you.
Yep. Amen.
And so
they're not yours. That was another crux of our main teaching was they're not yours. They're God's. You're just a steward to raise them up.
Right. And so this gives a little bit more evidence on, I know Brother Tupos read it, but I want to read this part again. Deuteronomy 21:21. This is about stoning children who are rebellious. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou, this part right here, put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear in fear. And that part, put evil away from among you, stuck out to me because there's evil in a child.
Amen.
And you want to put that evil away from the child because he doesn't know how to do it. You have to take control and put the evil away from the child.
Yeah, we don't stone children today. We're not under Torah law, but we are too. The Bible says whip, beat, if you want to call it, teach, train, discipline, rule his will and his flesh out of him.
Right. And if you think about it, if you can't correct children in their sin, which rebellion against a parent or doing what they're doing is sin, then how can you be trusted to correct the brethren?
Amen. Or do ministry or anything else.
Right. So I just have, like, my thoughts aren't, like, all organized or anything. I was kind of
just jotting.
That's okay.
Just share them.
Yeah, I was just jotting them down while Brother Tupos was talking. And so, like I said, you got to go listen to that audio. You'll understand this one better. I got a note on here that says children get carried too much.
Mm.
They sit on the lap. They get carried around. They get snuggled.
And this is mostly when they can start walking.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When they can walk, it takes forever for you to walk somewhere with them. But teach them how to walk. Put them in the cart. Push them. What it does is it helps get that flesh cut. Cut that umbilical cord. Yep. Treat them like a person, not necessarily as part of you.
Amen. The umbilical cord is cut, and start training them up to learn how to be young adults.
Exactly, yeah, because that's what they are. They will be. Another point I had is even when they're really, really young, I taught my children how to earn their keep. Basically, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yep.
The Bible teaches that.
Chores.
Yeah, so they're part of the family. They're making a mess. They should help clean up. If I hand wash clothes in the van, I know a sister who does too. They can help learn how to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot longer to train a child to help do that stuff, but they got to be trained somehow, sometime.
We got a brother. He needs to go get water and ice. He takes his two little ones. They each carry a water and an ice container, and they go, and they learn, hey, we want water and ice. We got to go do the chore.
And at some point, that chore gets turned over to them as their responsibility.
Yep.
And then more comes after that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, they have to learn that, and that keeps them out of trouble, too. Another thing that I thought of was,
can I say one point on
that? Yeah, go ahead.
I was telling a brother yesterday, you must occupy and keep the minds of these young children active, learning on God, on discipline, on chores. If you don't, their mind is going to go active everywhere else. Touch this, look at this, run here, look there, do there. They're going to be like little tiny sensory things that pick up everything. You must train them and dial them into the life you want for them. Order, calm, quiet, chores, training, obey, focus on the things of God. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to get to some scripture verses I have on that one, too.
Awesome.
So here's another one. I was thinking about, doesn't nature teach you? Mm. And I was thinking about how the ducklings follow their parents, if you call them parents or whatever.
Yep.
And the bear cub follows usually the mom, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
she's the one. And I was thinking how the children should be following parents, but what you see is parents are running around after children.
Chasing
oh,
kids.
Don't touch this, don't do that, do this, do that. And it's like, do you want this, do you want that? Oh, are you hungry, are you this, are you that? And it's like, their whole focus is like on the children. When the children should be sitting there looking at mom and dad going, can I have something to eat? Can I do this? Can I do that? You know, it should be under, go ahead.
Your life is all about serving Christ, and your life is about your marriage. The children should have a small part of your life, not the big part.
Yeah. What happens is people elevate children all the way up into like an adulthood status.
Amen.
When, yeah, you shouldn't, it shouldn't be that way. I have another note about the nature teaching you, and it goes back to the corporal punishment. Like I said, these are kind of random notes.
Yeah,
they might
right.
go all over. I was thinking about, you know, when you see a mom dog have puppies.
Yep.
And they start nipping or doing something they shouldn't. She bites them.
Oh, yeah.
She bites them real hard on the ear.
And they stop.
Yeah. Or when you see a cow that's nursing a calf and the calf should be done. Well, they get a kick in the head.
Yeah, they get a kick in the head, and they get told, they're shown who the boss is.
Oh, yeah. So, sparing the rod will spoil the child.
Yep.
So
and
just
we don't,
keep those things in mind.
Real quick, we don't encourage people to be beating their children in the head or anything like that.
No, huh.
We definitely, in the audio, we cover that. It should be good, controlled, discipline, corporal punishment, not abuse. And so, yeah, we're very clear on that. We don't hit in the face or in the head or in vital organs. It should be done in key areas that mom and dad agree with to get the point across.
Exactly. While we're on that, I just thought about this. It was talked about having a sharp tone, a displeased look. Because Brother Two Posts, I think you mentioned that on the audio about the Anabaptists.
Yep.
We've been around a lot of Anabaptists, and I've seen mothers. They talk to their children like this, and then, would you like this? Would you like that? Stop doing this. You're going to get discipline. Would you like this? Would you? And it's like blended right in there. There should be a displeasure, a sharp no.
And that's
Stop.
Righteous anger coming up, and they see,
yeah.
And this is righteous anger coming up, and we talked about how you're like the small g God in their life, because
mm-hmm.
you control everything.
Yeah.
You tell them where to go, what to eat, when to sleep, what to
yes.
do. You are their small g God, handing them off to God one day, and what you want to do is make sure that they see wrath coming out of their godlike figure, because when you displease God, what are you going to get? Wrath.
Oh, exactly.
They need to see and hear that.
Yeah, and what that does is if you're going about your day and they're behaving and then they misbehave and they get a sharp no, a stern look.
See the difference.
What it does, yeah, you can see the difference on that. And it will maybe help them in their flesh to go, uh-oh, I was doing something I shouldn't do.
And they don't need the beating.
Yeah, they might stop and go, okay. But if they don't, obviously you're going to progress to whatever levels that you have set up in your home for discipline. I was also thinking of the correlation, like Christ is our master and the parents are the master of the children.
Amen.
And so I was going to read some scripture verses on masters
Amen.
And authorities.
That'd be good.
Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And
parents
so,
are definitely masters over their small children.
Oh yeah. And I got the definition of master of one of the words master. Authority, get this. He to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding, master, lord, the possessor and disposer of a thing, the owner, one who has control of a person, the master.
God owns those children. He's given you them as a possession to raise them up.
Right, and in Colossians 3:2, it talks about men pleasers. We don't want to be that, because what you're doing is...
We don't want to be child pleasers.
Yeah, oh, I might hurt their feelings. They might not love me anymore. Well, we're going to talk about what real love is.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well say it right now.
Yeah.
To me, when I see Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, to me, a child ought to, if he loves the parents, keep their commands.
Amen.
I mean, same Absolutely. Thing. Look at the authority level.
It's one of the commandments in Exodus 20 is obey your parents. Honor your parents.
Here, do this, sisters. When you get a moment, go search the scriptures that talk about children obeying parents, mm-hmm. honoring parents. There's a
Old
ton
and New
of
Testament.
Them.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch in
the Bible says it's pleasing to God when they do that.
It is, and we're talking about godly parents.
Yes, of course.
I mean, you're supposed to obey your parents anyway, yep, but we're yep. talking to godly saints
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we're talking to godly saints.
Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So if you're a godly parent, you're going to give an account.
Yeah, and Titus, 1 Timothy 3 talks about the leaders, the deacons, the elders, and everybody should be in that same vein as an example, ruling their children.
Mm-hmm, yeah. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. So, we don't want to raise children who are going to be proud and disrespectful yep. to elders.
Yeah, amen.
We don't want that.
Amen.
Leviticus 19:32, this is about respecting elders. Thou shalt rise up, that means give honor
yep.
and revere, before the hoary head, which means old, the elder.
Yep.
And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am thy Lord.
Yeah.
2 Kings 2:23 and 24. Oh, yeah, that, I know what this is. Now, let's look at this, and let's see how God holds children accountable. Are you ready? 2 Kings 2:23 and 24. And this is talking about the prophet. You're going to see when we read it. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them.
Wow. Yeah. God brings judgment on children, too.
It pretty much says what it says. So yeah. This is a serious matter, sisters.
Well, when he rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, guess what? He killed everybody.
Well, I know. And when they went against the heathens, he yep. oftentimes he said, kill the women, the yeah. children,
God's
and the livestock.
God's not a respecter of persons.
No.
He doesn't look at your children as any special than anybody else, or more special than anybody else.
And partiality was talked about in yep. there, too. You got to
yeah,
be careful.
Yeah, God hates partiality.
Yeah, Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And I got one more here. Proverbs 30:17. Ready for this one? The eye that mocketh at his father and despise to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it.
Wow. Yeah, that's like a judgment.
Yeah, so what you want to do with all these admonishments about children obeying the parents, this is a serious issue because it could affect their soul as they go yep. older. If they don't fear their parents, that they're going to be in trouble if they don't obey their parents.
In all things.
In all things.
That means sit at the table and don't fidget. Go do this, go do that. In all things.
Yeah, basically you're going to go right where, yeah, you rule over them. They have no will. You tell them what their will is going to be, and yep. their will is going to be what you want it
and
to
you
be.
Break it when they push against you, and the Bible says use a rod and beat it out of them. That means take to their butt a rod and give them pain, I believe would be a good place. Give them pain so that they go, I don't get my will. My dad or my mom are going to break my will, and it won't take long. They'll submit to your will.
Right, and those of you who are older, of an older generation, maybe you see in wherever it is, if you're in America or some of the other cultures, that the older generation did not spare the rod
nope.
for the most part. It was commonplace for a child to be fearful of the parents of stepping
yep.
out of line.
And fearful of neighbors.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There was a lot more respect then. I just was recently dealing with a young guy. Sometimes I deal with a guy, he could be my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
They call me dude.
Yeah, there's no
That's
respect.
It's just disrespectful.
Yeah, speaking of that, when I was raised, you didn't speak unless you were spoken to.
Yep,
when you were introduced to somebody, you were quiet until they addressed you, and you called them Mr. or Mrs.
Yep, or
whatever,
sir or ma'am.
Whatever it was they told you their name was to
yep.
be Mr. or Mrs.,
yep.
and you continued doing that unless they changed it otherwise.
Yep. Amen.
And so, yeah, we don't see that today. We see Satan allowing children and
yeah, the culture,
ruling.
Cultures
yeah.
feminized and corrupt and paganized, yeah.
Yeah, another point I had, I'm getting down to the end here, something to think about. I mentioned it, but this is pretty big. Disobedience is sin, and you're not going to allow sin. You can't allow it. They need to be, you need to tell them once they get of understanding age,
yep,
2 or 3, they can understand.
Oh,
We had grandchildren, they can understand what the word sin is, because they, if they know what no is,
yep,
they know enough to know that sin
is,
if
bad,
they hear it enough, yeah, sin against God.
Yep.
If you're raising them in the admonition of the Lord, they know about the Lord, they,
yep,
know about Christ, in their whatever their minds can understand about that, but they know sin is not,
yeah,
good.
And sooner if, you start that, the better.
Right, the vocabulary of that, so they understand it when they're older.
And it starts working on their conscience.
It does, yeah. So you want to be biblical about it. And speaking of disobedience is sin, James 4:17, if you see a child being disobedient to your commands, it's not cute, it's not funny, and they shouldn't get an allowance for it, just like any other,
nope,
person that's trying to follow the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So when you tell your child, pick up your toys, and they don't instantly obey you, they're in sin.
That's
they
it.
Need to be dealt with, however it is that you lay it out, but it's got to be swift, sure, and it's got to be something that they fear.
They must fear you.
Yeah.
You don't really have the respect, and you're not really obeying God unless your children fear you.
And that kind of goes along with respecting the elders.
Yep. Same
way. The Bible talks about honoring your father and mother, which is revering, respecting, fearing.
Yep.
If you don't mold your house to that and try to at least get that in place, you might have really rebellious children.
Yeah.
You should be doing every effort you have for that. Otherwise, you're in sin.
Yeah, I don't know any parents that would let their little child go to a store and shoplift. Hey, they don't even know they're shoplifting. They're
no.
just going to go to the store and take something, put it in their pocket and leave. Parents would go, no, that's wrong. Well, why is disobeying your parents not wrong? And why is that allowed?
Yeah, so think about this. Brother Tupos had a good point. You know, when they're little, yeah, they might not understand what sin is. That's how they're going to learn, is if they're taught.
Yep.
So if a child can crawl around on a chair, crawl across the table, scoot across the floor like a fish, you know, smear the window up, run around in circles, how come one of the brothers or sisters that are 30 years old can't,
why
do,
can't
that?
We do that? If they can throw fleshly fits, why can't I? Ah!
Yeah. So think about that. You're training them to be who they're supposed to be.
Amen.
Not allowing them to be somebody they're not. Then all of a sudden going, all right, you're too old for that. Stop doing it. They
yep.
shouldn't be doing it in the
and
first
you're moving
place.
You're moving their flesh out of the way so that you can train them in the ways of God. And one day the Spirit will take over if they're willing to hear the gospel, repent, and obey.
Right. So you realize, sisters, this is about their flesh and you helping them overcome it, because they can't do it. They don't know. They don't understand
right.
at this point.
Leave them to themselves. They'll play with razor blades and eat candy all day.
Yeah. So you are their flesh killer. You're teaching and training them how to kill their flesh and drawing the boundaries and the guidelines. And it's hard. There could be a lot of corporal punishment that has to go on. When you say it, you got to mean it. You got to do it. And you got to be prompt and steadfast.
And don't
and
coddle them afterwards. Give them a good whooping. Put them in their bed and say, when you're done crying, you're going to behave, come out. Don't coddle them after you whoop them. That defeats the purpose of your authority and fear.
Right. And as a sister was saying, as they're raising their children and doing the best that they can, it's bondage to have to be always running and chasing after children. It's freedom when they are coming after you, and that's the order that it should be.
It'll
now
be.
You got time to focus on the things of God.
Yep.
You're not running and chasing and disarray all the time, and your whole life is spent on the children when it should be spent on the things of God, and they should be coming with.
Yep.
Standing there quietly when you're listening.
Yep.
Standing there even watching you do your chores and stuff. If they're too young to do it, they can stand there and watch.
Amen.
Cooking, things like that.
Amen.
So they're to be imitating you, just like we imitate Paul, who imitated Christ. Let them imitate you as a godly woman and raise them in the things of God. And I got one more encouragement.
All right.
Don't grow weary in well-doing, 2 Thessalonians 3:13.
I love that verse.
But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing.
Yep. And it's a daily thing. This is an hourly thing. This is a weekly thing. This is a monthly thing. This is something you can't let up on. Brother and I were talking about that. You can do good for a month. And I was using like the example of a dog. And children are dogs, but I'm using the example. You house train your dog for a month and he's doing good. If you don't take him outside for 2 days, he starts going all over the house. You just ruined your training for the month. Consistency, ongoing, always,
right.
never letting up. Is that not the Christian life, Sister Emin?
It is. It's a steadfast.
What do we let up on in the biblical going. Christian life?
You can't. And you brought up something. I'm just going to say it, sisters. If dogs can be trained to sit and obey their master and do everything he says for it to do, how much more can children be?
Children
trained?
Are so much better and so more valuable more. And smarter
so
than
why
a dog.
Yeah, people will work real hard to train their dog, but they let their children run.
Yeah.
That's sinful.
It is sinful.
You don't want to be caught on the side of sin, sisters. Yeah. You need to ponder this. Think about it. We're here to help you, encourage you. Kill your flesh.
Yep. There's
going to be a lot of flesh killing and maturing going on in adults as they learn and grow through all
Let go of your children now in that fleshly way and nurture them in the ways of the Lord through stern rule with your husband, authority, governing, rules, teaching, training, discipline, and the rod.
Right.
It all comes together.
Amen.
Yeah. So was that all the points that you had?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think I missed
it. I wanted to cover real quick as we go over. So if you go listen to the teaching audio I did, I had four main points that Sister Emma and I agreed most parents fail at. So we'll go through them real quick. Number one, Sister Emma, do many parents try to be friends with their children rather than rulers and authority?
They do. That kind of goes along with being men pleasers and not God pleasers. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. So that was a big aspect. And so what's some examples of that? Like when you see that?
Being friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they don't want to hurt their feelings. They want the love to, they want a fleshly love from them.
I don't
want
them to not like me, like you mentioned before.
Uh-huh,
Allowing them to do a little bit. They're not too bad. Not too bad? Are they really good?
Should be zero tolerance.
Should be
zero tolerance.
There's zero tolerance
for sin.
Right.
We need to treat children like that. I guess I don't understand where the mindset comes from. Satan, of course. That we have zero tolerance for our brothers and sisters in sin. I mean, we don't jump on them and give them corporal punishment, but the corporal punishment they get is the Hebrews 4:12 sword.
And they get rebuked. If they don't repent, they get put out.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah. And that goes along with knowing who you are. You're a child of God following Christ because you're born again. You're bringing God glory and honor by ruling your children. You're actually getting the flesh out of your life that helps you walk in God with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It actually helps your witness. It's going to help your marriage tremendously because there won't be all that tension and stress of bratty children if you and your husband or wife are united in the faith. So there's so many good aspects. Ready? You're gripping their minds to teach them and train them all about Christ and not let them be doing whatever they want. There's so many good aspects to ruling your children with order, rules, training, and rod correction. There's not one negative. God's word doesn't even give us any negative. And the other thing I want to throw in real quick was, friends. We want to leave that one at friends. So we'll leave that one right there at friends. Anything else on that one?
No, I don't think so.
So the other one was parents are way too fleshly. Let me start with this one.
Yeah.
So when I say they're too fleshly, I challenge the brothers to say, show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus was hanging around, tickling, wrestling, rolling around on the ground, where Jesus, God in the flesh, was in any way what you would consider even close to being affectionate. Maybe there's one time when John like leaned on his breast, but on his chest, but they would be eating at tables where they leaned down. Jesus isn't walking around acting in a bunch of flesh affection. Jesus' love was truth. And spirit, and correction, and admonishment. So we should be modeling Jesus. And we don't, us saints don't run around hugging each other 30 times a day and then giving no biblical correction. We hug each other with a greeting once or twice a day. And we give a lot of biblical insight, correction, and edification. So what do you say about being in the flesh too much, sister?
I would say that's probably one of the biggest painful things women are going to have to deal with because you love to sit there and cuddle and wrap up in the blanket.
He needs me.
Fall asleep with him. Yeah, you know what it is? Sisters, I'll be honest with you because I've been there, done that. It makes me feel good.
Yep.
Because they love me, they like me, you know, and I get to give them something. But you know what? Better than that, bigger and higher than that, is they need to learn how to be obedient and have less of that flesh. Because you're teaching them how to live in the flesh.
Because you're going to let them go one day, very soon.
You may have to kick them out and
separate
biblically from
them. You have to let them go. They may be your brother and sister one day. They may be your enemy. Don't bond and get connected to them like they're yours. They're not. They're going to be another adult out in the world, and you should have no partiality. So when you do ministry, and you see this 18-year-old man or woman out in the world, you should not have any partiality for your 18-year-old man or woman. You should say, I love that person as much as I love that person. And how do you get there? Give up your flesh now.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
So how about this? What if your sister wants you to babysit one of their children because she has a very important thing to do? Do you do the same thing with them with the same emotion and the same closeness and connection that you do yours?
Yeah.
That's partiality. So go deep. Deep in all this.
Yeah,
this is
all deep, deep theology. You got to go there. Yeah. So you got to get the flesh out. That's going to help you in your walk. And that's going to help your children come to Christ one day via the gospel. So, and Romans 8:8 says we can't please God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Flesh cannot rule in children. It can't rule anywhere in your Christian walk. We got to root it out, get it out.
Right.
Yeah. Next point was consistency. Think that's a big issue?
Yeah, that's why I was reading Not Growing Weary, because we have to be consistent in our walk. A little leaven leavens the whole
every
lump.
Day.
Every day, you've got to be consistent on every single thing in your, what you look at, what you think about, what you're doing, who you're associating with, how you spend your money,
how you dress,
where you're going. Yeah. I mean, we got to be consistent for the Lord and hold to his doctrines. Why would we not set that up for the children and hold to that, hopefully, to the saving of their soul someday?
Yeah. What do you want them to be like when they're 12, 14, and 16, and 18? You should be starting to train them when they're 2 and 3 right now.
Yeah, break that mindset that children will be children.
Oh, that's a lie. And I had a man tell me recently, well, you got to wait till they have a better attention span. I'm like, no, teach them to have the attention span now. Of course, they can't rebuild an engine on a car. I get it. Start teaching them with small things. Get their attention. Start taking them for walks, showing them God's creation. Do projects with them. When they're old enough, buy them a toolkit. Teach them valuable lessons. Teach them God's word. If you're going to do jigsaw puzzles, don't be doing foolish, stupid things of the world like pickup trucks. Be doing things that are godly, like Noah's Ark and animal themes and Bible themes, and start in building and grasping ready, taking capture of their mind and their attention, and build upon that. Consistent every day with that. Consistency. When they get up in the morning, where are they going to sit? What are they going to do? When do they get to go play? And what are they going to do when they play? Where are they going to do with help with chores? When do they get to go for a walk? When do they get to have a snack? When do they get to do? They need to have your permission to do everything.
Right. And I was thinking about this.
That's how you rule them.
Yeah. I think this would fit in here. So sisters, if you're looking at your children and this is brand new to you, go to the scriptures, listen to the audio. Test it all. You're not going to find anything that isn't taught in God's word there. It's all in there. You can't contest with that. But here, it's proven that this can be done. You could have a 2-year-old child that could stand in one spot for hours.
Yep, we've
maybe
seen it.
Need a little bit of correction, but I'll give this to the Amish. They have a heretical gospel and doctrine. Their Brother Two Post teaches on that all the time. But this one thing they do excellent.
Child discipline.
Their children, we've watched them for hours and
hours. They're like little adults.
Stand still and listen.
Yeah.
Very obedient, walking 9-year-olds, walking and taking care of big Clydesdale horses.
They're taught to be content, to be focused, to be in order, to obey mom and dad, and they work within the rules.
Yeah.
You can do it.
So it's definitely possible.
Yeah, it's not possible.
And how do they do that? Consistency.
Every day.
And corporal punishment and fear.
Environment and fear.
Respect.
Yep, amen. And that's our next one. Got to be disciplined. And our last one was fear. And I told a young couple not too long ago, your children don't fear you. That's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if your children don't fear you, you're not doing a good job before the Lord, because the beginning of wisdom is to fear God.
Yep.
And your children fear you. One day you hand them off to Christ via the gospel, they need to fear God. If they don't fear you at 3 and 4 and 5, your house is going to be a nightmare when they're 10, 12, and they start going through puberty. They start getting authority spurts in them. They want more autonomy. You're going to have a nightmare. They better fear you early on. And you bring that fear through rules, rule, consistency, get rid of the flesh, the rod of correction, stern instruction, warnings, and then the rod.
Right. And fear is based with fear, reverence, and respect.
Right.
They all kind of go together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a plain old afraid of somebody. There's a reverence there, a respect, kind of like we have with the officers. Maybe you're driving just a little bit over the speed limit and he could literally give you a ticket. You have a respect and a fear. You're like, yeah, I was in the wrong.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you really have to have that fear and respect of you, just like we do of Christ, even more so.
Yeah, the one verse says, I think it's 1 Timothy 3, the one verse says, let them be subject to you with all gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And that means reverence.
Right.
Subjection and gravity. That means they look at you with reverence and fear, and they know my parents rule me.
Right.
And if that don't happen with your children, you're not honoring God. And that's what this is all about, honoring our Maker through the gospel, through our own lives, through our houses.
Right. And if you look at it all, you can see God has governmental order set up in many different ways. There's hierarchy.
Amen.
And we went through the master's scriptures yep. and obeying them and yep. the whole level that we have in there. So it's all in God's word. So yeah. It's in a different mindset,
yeah.
but it's all scriptural that needs to be dug into and followed after, because while I just got to say this, we were just talking about this with some of the brethren, people that we've known who seem to maybe have some light in them and going in the right direction, as their children got older, their whole house is shipwrecked, and they are in
why?
Death, darkness, vampires, witches, all kinds of
They started following their children into worldliness, and because they didn't rule them and they had a lot of flesh,
and they
let down
friends.
Their guard. Yeah, yep. I'll give you an example. There were some people that were very, very biblical in many ways. They were set apart and all that. Now they've fallen back because of their children. Now, they dress rather worldly. But they don't wear AC/DC satanic rock shirts, but their children do, and they get along just fine with it. And they're all claiming to be believers.
Yeah.
They've gone the wrong direction.
The woman who used to be dressed biblical and head covered is now wearing jeans and her hair's hanging out, and yep. she's wearing makeup and jewelry.
And these slow fades happen because you compromise, you're walking in the flesh, you're pleasing people or children, you want to go along, get along. You can't have any of that if you're going to follow Christ. Men, you got to bring the rule. Women, you got to obey your husbands and help them. And you got to have houses that are in order and rule them under subjection with all gravity and fear, so that then you can teach them in the admonishment of the Lord.
Right. You just mentioned something I didn't mention. Husbands and wives who are both serving the Lord. The husband, Brother Two Post talks about this, the husband sets a standard.
Yep.
The wife is to be backing him up
yep.
and with him, you know, standing next to him with it, doing the same things. You can't cave into your flesh. Otherwise, you're going to destroy the works that the husband's trying to
yep.
set up. And so you've got to kill your flesh in it all.
Yeah. And a good way to look at marriage is your marriage is supposed to be for a lifetime. Husband and wife. And it is a physical bond. It's a flesh bond.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful bond. You don't have that same thing with your children. Your children, you only have for 18 years. And your children, you're not supposed to have that flesh bond with them. You're not having relations with your children. You're to grow them up and to train them to be adults that will separate from you. Husbands and wives are to leave and cleave and bond and become one flesh all the time. Many people blur the relationship of husband and wives with mother, father, father, son, that type of thing. They blur it,
right.
And that's an ungodly thing.
Right, because go back to Deuteronomy that I read
yep.
about stoning the children.
Got to put them out.
If you got them on your lap and you're hanging around with them and they're your best friend until they're 17 or 18, you've allowed all that sin, and then they had to go stone them and put them out. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
They didn't raise their children like that.
No.
They raised them like an individual.
Amen.
Not part of them.
Yep.
Just
they
because
are one
they
of
came
your...
from your flesh doesn't mean they are your flesh.
Yeah, the Lord owns them. He gives them to you as a possession to care for, as a steward, and you're supposed to train them up in all the ways he's talking about. And his ways say, rule them. Have rules, have authority, and beat them. Go read it in Proverbs, and that doesn't mean physically abuse them. It means punish them when they need it to break their will.
And how about this one? It was Samuel
mm-hmm.
in the temple?
Yep, from a small child.
Yeah, I think Hannah.
Yep.
Hannah had prayed to have a child and promised that she would turn him over to the Lord if she was granted that, and she did. So when he was a child, she gave him over to the Lord into the
yeah.
temple. Shouldn't we? That's a child.
Yeah, look at Jesus
Should we
at
not
12.
Be doing the same?
Jesus at 12 is in the temple, and he's all about the scriptures. John the Baptist, it says, was full of the Spirit, and he was a godly person or walking the Spirit from a small child.
Yeah.
I know those are Jesus was God, and John the Baptist was specially used. But I have a question. What do you want, men, your children to be about when they're 5, 6, 8, 9? I'm training men that their sons should be standing by their side, should be listening patiently when they're witnessing and proclaiming the gospel. If they do that when they're 5, 6, 7, and 8, by the time they're of age of consent to repent and be baptized and follow Christ, when they do that, you're going to have some mighty little men of God.
Oh, I know.
If they're
that
out playing
awesome.
Football or running around or doing their own thing and they're not focused and you don't have their attention and you're not winning their minds and their will towards God, you're going to have a mess.
Yep, exactly.
That's what churchianity is. Churchianity yeah. is about 80% flesh and about 20% a little bit of God here and there. We're asking you to do the opposite. Be about 80% about the things of God, the ways of God, kill the flesh. And then, yeah, 20% can be you love on them. Maybe there's a time to sit and play with them and do some quality thing. But you got to be careful that you keep that balance where it's all about God and the Spirit and truth and ruling them versus just letting it go and we'll just have fun. Fun literally has no place in the life of a saint. Fun.
No.
It really doesn't. And what is fun? Well, you could say, well, serving God is fun, but what is fun? Fun is usually fleshly indulgence.
Idol and yeah. things like that.
So yeah. what you want to do is do things that with them that are meaningful for the kingdom of God, skills, things that are teaching them the word of God, teaching them to obey. One day they're going to have a boss to obey. Your daughters one day are going to have to obey their husbands. Your sons are going to have to obey the police and them that rule over them. Train them to be obedient servants and to follow after the things of God.
And this, I found one more scripture here, Deuteronomy 11:19. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest.
I read
up.
That one on the
you
teaching.
Did. Yeah, yep. I wanted to read it again.
That means all the time.
That's all the time.
It's all about the things of God. So ponder all that. Right. Anything else, Sister Drummond?
No, we could be here all day with lots and lots, but I think yeah. you covered it in the audio. We covered a lot more here. Hopefully yep. that will be an encouragement to sisters. Lay down your flesh, be obedient to the word, and go forth and raise children in admonition of
yep.
the Lord.
That fear you and have reverence. Our brother Zelos and Sister Cara on their website, followgospel.com, they are the ones with small children. We're beyond childbearing age. They're going to be doing lots of teachings and showing what they've learned, what they didn't yep. do right, what they are doing right. And they're going to have lots more teachings over the next few months for children in homeschooling and raising and child discipline, all that. So I encourage you to go there. It's linked to at our website, don'tperish.com. This audio will be right with that other teaching. If you know anybody that needs some help with child training biblically, I don't know anybody who's teaching what we're teaching. And you know what? We're not teaching anything out there. It's just what God's word says.
It's what the word says.
But most people teach flesh-centered, child-centered, man-centered. We're teaching Christ-centered.
Amen.
And I'll take it back again. Go look at who Christ was when he walked on earth. He was not a fleshly, overtly affectionate, full of play, and full of all of this. He was about the Father's will. What do you want your children to be about?
The Father's will.
Amen. All right, we love you all. Thanks for listening in.
May God be praised.